Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You ever think about where these fall mission festivals came from? Where the idea started? It wasn't Libby or Pillsbury that came up with it, but rather German Lutheran farmers. Maybe they weren't all German. But in the 1850s, 64% of the population of the workers in this country were farmers. And they didn't know how much the Lord would bless them with by way of income in the year until September or October, when they brought in the harvest. So they decided that was when they would make their extra offerings towards missions. Well, times have changed. Hot percentage of the workers in this country are farmers now. 1. And we're all very used to receiving income weekly or biweekly or monthly, and so we give for missions year-round. But it's still the same harvest, isn't it? The harvest of the Lord to eternal life. And just as there are different ways to give from our income to support the spread of the message of forgiveness and life in Christ, so there are different gifts and there are different opportunities to use what we have been given personally to share the word. For those farmers in the 1800s knew very well they weren't done with their mission work by what they put in the plate. They were anxious to speak to their friends and their neighbors of the Savior and to work in other ways to spread the gospel. These other ways are brought out in a poetic and familiar way in the hymn, Hark the Voice of Jesus Crying. You'll notice in the first verse that there is a question at the beginning and at the end. The beginning is the question, who will go and work today? And at the end comes the question to you and to me. Will we be the ones that answer? Here am I. Send me. The hymn then goes on to show the various ways that God sends us. But this wasn't written to be talked about, was it? The hymn was written to be sung. So let's do that. 496, Hark the Voice of Jesus Crying. Thank you. In the third stanza, it spoke of, and we sang of, the prayers and the bounties we bring doing God's will for missions by supporting those who were preaching and teaching the word. And the writer used the picture from the Old Testament, a battle in which the people of Israel were under attack, and Moses sent out Joshua with some warriors, and then he prayed on the hillside, and he kept his hands outstretched, and one was that rod that parted the waters, the Red Sea, but he grew tired, and as his arms came down, then the battle would shift against Israel. And so Aaron, his brother, the high priest, and a man named Hur came, and one held the arm up on the one side while Moses sat on a rock, and the other held up the other arm. And so we, with our bounties, our offerings, and with our prayers, also support the work of taking the gospel out into all the world. Just as the work of Aaron and Hur were critical, and it was work. The day was long, and praying isn't easy either, not when we're really engaged. And it too is critical to the work the Lord has given us to do. Jesus himself says so. He urges us to pray for harvest workers in Matthew 9:35-38. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Ask the Lord. That's prayer. And the original word is the idea of begging. Be persistent. Hang on to God. Insist he answer, for he has bid you pray. But not only do the scriptures urge us to pray for harvest workers, we are also urged to pray with them. In Romans 15:30, we read, "Now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayers to God for me." Finally, this is not something to be done once a year. This is something that we are to continue in. We are to keep on praying till he comes. And in all our praying, looking back to that first reading from Matthew, we see what moves us. It is the very love of Jesus, not only for the people that he saw driven this way and that by all kinds of different teachings that took them away from God, but Jesus' love for you, Jesus' love for me. That's what moves us to care enough to do what he says and to pray for those who need to know him, that workers would be sent, that pastors and teachers and missionaries, and that people like you and I, when we had opportunity, would speak up. Yes, I'm a pew member now. I'm not in the front very often at all. And you can see from the way I walk that it's just as well that way. So we're to keep on praying, moved by the need of the people who are traveling Christless through life. The answers that are provided for them in philosophy and TV stories and commercials and books that they might read and what their neighbors might say, there aren't any really real answers there. Those come from Christ our Lord, who was our substitute in his life and in his death, and rose triumphant that we might be certain of the answer of God's love for us and of the gift of eternal life through his Son. We remember, too, that time is limited, and that's true in more than one way. We don't know how long we have individually. We do not know how long the people to whom these workers that we're praying for are being sent. And we don't know how long it is before the Lord returns. There's an urgency involved then in praying that the Lord of the harvest would send pastors and teachers and missionaries out where we cannot go. Pray for harvest workers. Jesus told first century believers to do this. He pointed to the harvest fields of grain and said, it's just like that where people are concerned. And it seems in the gospel reading that you heard, when Jesus said to his disciples that the fields were ready for harvesting and that they should look up, they looked up, and what did they see? They saw the men of that city coming out, because the woman had witnessed to them, coming out to hear Jesus. Here was the harvest right there. It is still true. There is still great need of men to preach, of women to teach, of missionaries to go, so that young and old may know the one who lived and died for them. So we are commanded by our Lord himself to pray the Lord of the harvest for workers. So pray that God would move young people to study, to be pastors and teachers. Remember that many decide to enter these fields while they're students at our Emmanuel Lutheran College. So pray that parents would make this an option as they look ahead. That it not be something they couldn't possibly consider and do because of the distance or the cost, but to consider it and think about it and plan for it. Pray that God would give parents the long view of life. For a few years, your children aren't home as often as they would be otherwise. But in exchange, they're strengthened each day in their faith. In exchange, they may well find a godly spouse. Or shall I say, the Lord will direct them to find a godly spouse. And it turns out that the children that you send away end up wanting to be with you more later than before. But there always is that longest view of being with them forever. Pray for the workers at our school. Pray for the teachers, the professors at Emmanuel. And as your bulletin reminds you, pray because there are shortages. What do we have? 4 or 5 vacancies? Next spring we graduate 2 men out of the seminary. And the year after that, 1. Pray that the Lord will find workers where we hadn't thought of. Pray that he would encourage young men and women to study to be pastors and teachers. Remember, when you pray for workers, you're praying for yourself and your children and your grandchildren as well. Or do you suppose this man will live forever or be here forever? Doesn't work that way, does it? So you are praying for future pastors, your own included, when you pray that the Lord of the harvest would send workers into the harvest. And pray that your words and your actions encourage your pastor in his work. Because when you show that you value the pastor and what he is doing, you encourage the youth in your congregation who might be considering that as a way the Lord wants them to go. And let's not forget, considering that insert in the bulletin today, that we pray for men who are training in the various seminaries, that God has given the CLC the opportunity to establish in places like India and Africa. It kind of takes your breath away. You read of four men being trained in one place and seven men in another, and over 1,000 in India. Not 1,000 people in a congregation, 1,000 men going out, many places where there are no congregations, but only Hindus who need to know Jesus. Even as we pray for harvest workers, the Apostle Paul urges us to pray with them. I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me, that you struggle together with me in prayers to God for me. I need your prayers. I need you to be praying with me, he says. There was an elderly woman in a congregation I served that felt very bad because on Sundays like this, her arthritis kept her from being at church. And she was one who for years had looked forward to bringing the particular dishes and doing the particular things involved in the fellowship meal. And now she couldn't do that. And she told me that she felt like she wasn't doing anything for the Lord. I had to keep from laughing. Not that her pain was anything funny, but this was the same woman whose doctor told her she had to do things differently at night because she wasn't getting enough rest. You see, when she lay down to sleep, she started praying for the people in her congregation. Oh, not in a general way. She thought of the pews one by one. And you know how we all like to sit in the same place. Well, those faces would come up, and she would pray. And she didn't use it as a way to go to sleep, like I use my old paper route. But she would continue on through the congregation, first one side and then the other, until it showed in her eyes when she went to see the doctor. Told her, you've got to pray some other times and sleep when the Lord gives you the opportunity to sleep. She was praying in the way the Apostle Paul ask fellow Christians to pray for him. Strive together with me, Paul says. Not just pray for me, pray with me. Join me in praying like Jacob did on the banks of the Jabbok when he hung on to God and wouldn't let him go until those promises were made. Promises kept. That's how God wants us to pray, hanging on to his word, hanging on to his promises. Pray for workers, knowing that the Lord told you to do this, commanded you to do this. We pray with God's harvest workers like that when we make their trials our own, when we make their plans and goals and efforts to spread the gospel weigh on our hearts until there's only one place to go with the weight, and that's to Jesus, and turn it over to him. And pray for the workers in that way. You know where they're going to come from, Lord. You have plans we don't know about. We appeal to you. And so Missionary Ullman sends out the list, like the one in the bulletin today. And that's one reason why the spokesman contains pictures and articles, so that you may get to know these people better, for whom you will be praying not only for, but with. so you may with them take the message of Jesus the Savior to people in far-off corners of our own country and to far-off countries in our world. Get to know their struggles so you may struggle with them in prayer. And then keep on praying. Don't let this be something that just goes on for a while because you went away from a service encouraged to do it, and with the voice of Jesus ringing in your ears, pray for workers. But keep on praying because he is coming back. He once sent out 70 men, two by two, and they went to villages, and there was an urgency in the way they went. Not only did he urge them on, but they knew he was coming to those villages after them. They needed to get there before Jesus did to ready the way, to tell the people who was coming. Same is true today, isn't it? Jesus is returning. We need to pray with a sense of urgency. Now, just as we need to be strengthened and renewed in our personal faith often, because we are weak and short-sighted, the same is true in our prayer lives. We're easily distracted. We lose focus. No accident that the windows are such that you can't see through them. Almost anything distracts us when we should be focused on what the Lord has given us to do and when he's telling us about what he has done. So what do you do when those fires of zeal are just embers? We need to turn to Jesus, don't we? We need to remember who it is who has called us to pray for harvest workers. We need to remember Jesus' love and compassion for us and for them. We need to remember the terrible straits of those living this life without Christ. We need to remember the time is limited. He who died for us died for them. That should move our hearts. So clearly this is a matter of great importance. And what do we do with things that are really important? We schedule them. Else we forget. We set up a plan. We make the time. So I urge you to take today's bulletin home with you today. Don't leave it in the pew. And then don't leave it in the car. Instead, read through Missionary Ullman's prayer list. And when you find that blank page, use that to set up your plan. Your plan for praying to the Lord of the harvest for harvest workers. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to plan on setting aside 5 minutes each day. Doesn't sound like much time, but when we start praying, it's hard to focus for 5 minutes. Don't know how Luther did it for 2 hours. Well, I do. He always prayed with the Word of God in front of him. Anyway, 5 minutes, Sunday night, pray for your pastor. Monday, pray for pastors of the CLC, present and future, and for those congregations that you know are praying for a worker because they don't have one. Tuesday, pray that young people seriously consider studying to be pastors and teachers and missionaries. Tuesday. That was Tuesday. That's what happens. Loss of focus. Wednesday, pray for foreign missionaries. You can start with the 3 men. Whoops, we have 2 and we're praying for the 3rd. So there you join with all of us in the CLC, praying the Lord will find the man who is to join Evenson, who's a resident, as long as the state allows it, in either India or right now in Africa. And they had the traveling missionary, Olmundson, and then the new man that we're calling. Brings us to Thursday. Pray for those being trained in those foreign missionaries that Pastor Ullman brings to your attention. I think I called him Olmundson. He's not Norwegian, or is he? Anyway, Friday, pray for ILC professors and students. And Saturday, don't start too late. Don't necessarily cover every pew, but pray for your fellow workers in your own congregation as they pray with you to do as Jesus has called you to do. Pray for workers. In his name and with his blessing, go. But this isn't a challenge. This is even better. This is a commission. Because we aren't competing with each other. We're following our Lord. Amen. May the peace of God, which is able to protect us far more effectively than the human mind, guard and keep your hearts and thoughts in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.
Heavenly Father, whose will it is that everyone should hear the good news of Christ crucified, believe it and be saved, send us forth as laborers into your harvest to bring our precious Savior to others. As you open our mouths to witness Christ, open also hearts to welcome him by faith. As Lord of the harvest, provide your church with pastors, teachers, and missionaries to lead the mighty army of Christian witnesses in preaching the living Christ to a dying world. Dear Jesus, you have told us to preach the good news to every creature. Give us also the boldness to witness your name and salvation in the course of our daily lives. Inspire our love for lost souls with the love you have for us, which compelled you to die for our sins. Holy Spirit, sanctify us and make us ready to do whatever pleases God, especially to do the work of speaking the good news of Christ crucified to others. Open our eyes to discover ever more opportunities to witness Jesus. Give us a sense of urgency in the Father's harvest while it is still the day of salvation, before the night of judgment comes when no one can work. Inspire us to give generously of our substance so that as partners with other Christians, we will be able to send forth more missionaries into the far-flung regions of the earth. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, watch over our mission workers, wherever they may be. Keep them faithful to the gospel of Christ. Give them a selfless dedication to their Savior and a love for souls that will not allow them to become discouraged or to withdraw from their fields of labor. Enable them to adjust to the rigors of their work and to the conditions under which they must live. Keep them safe in time of danger. Spare them disease and ward off every kind of calamity. Keep them, their families, and their congregations under your continual protection. Defend them, lest they become victims of national unrest or political oppression. Give success to their labors. Grant that the word of salvation may have free course throughout the world, and cause it to be glorified in the hearts of men as it is in our own. Forgive our many sins, which not only merit condemnation, but also make us unworthy to preach the holy name of Jesus. It is in his name that we make these petitions. Amen. We also join in the responsive mission prayer you find printed in the bulletin. You will please begin and lead me. You have made us your children through faith in your Son, Jesus. Since it is your desire that all people be brought into your family of faith, we know you hear us, as in his name we pray.
Hallowed be your name.
May our lips and our lives reflect a faithful use of your word, Heavenly Father. Help us to spread the gospel the world over to the salvation of many and the glory of your name. Rule in our hearts and lives, O Father, and grant an open door for the gospel to pastors and missionaries everywhere. Raise up a new generation of faithful gospel workers so that your rule in us is strengthened and we are bold to speak the good news of Christ the King.
Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Dear Father, it is your will that none should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of the truth about your Son, our Savior. Even as the angels in heaven do your will, help us to gladly share your word.
Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us.
We thank you, Father, that daily you graciously give us all we need for body and life. May we, with thankful hearts, bring you our daily load of sin, that the blood-bought forgiveness of your Son might flow from us to those who sin against us, even as in Christ you have forgiven us.
Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Shepherd us, O Father, in our walk through life, so that sin and Satan may not destroy our witness to Christ our Lord. We pray for our brethren around the world who are suffering for your name's sake. Should persecution come our way for sharing your word, help us to rejoice that we would be counted worthy to suffer for your Son's sake. Our Father in heaven, we come to you.
For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours now and forever. Amen, amen. That is, yes, yes, it shall be so.
seated. We'll continue with hymn 506.